Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. It's easy to say, it's a lot harder to do. But the fact is, we cannot live without simply trusting. You worked all this past week, or maybe for 2 weeks, and you trust that they're going to pay you, and that the check they give you isn't going to bounce, and that you'll be able to pay your bills. You put a lot of trust in your employer or in the government. If you're living off of Social Security or welfare, you trust that that check is going to come in, that it's not going to bounce, and you'll be able to pay your bills. There's a lot of things we trust in. We trust that it's not going to become 200 degrees or 100 below zero out of nowhere. We trust that the earth works in a certain way and it's been consistent more or less, and it's relatively working in a way that is predictable, in spite of the unpredictable weather here in Denver. We trust our spouses. We trust our parents, our kids, in ways that, you know, sometimes we question because we are sinners and we are not always reliable or trustworthy. And yet, if we did not trust, we would be in a constant state of chaos, of uncertainty, of anxiety, of fear or anger, fight or flight. The fact of the matter is, we put a lot of trust in ourselves, sinners, and in others in order to function. As you're preparing for the school year, you're doing many things to get your kids ready and yourselves to finally see them leave and have a quiet home when they take off. There's a lot of preparation that goes into our preparation each year for school, for work each day, etc. And while we trust in an extraordinary way, sinners, including ourselves among us, in order to function and live, do we really trust God? The scriptures today give us many examples of what happens when people trust Him. Whether it was the Israelites in Egypt, trusting that God allowing slavery would eventually set them free so that they remained there, and then trusting God's representative Moses to lead them from a place where they had food and shelter to the desert where there was no such thing, and yet they followed him. Their trust was shown through action. They didn't say it, they literally did it. Moses leads them to the Red Sea. How are we going to cross this? Pharaoh's coming with his army behind us to kill us. But they trusted him, and God parted the Red Sea. And through the desert, 40 years because of their sins, eventually they would reach the Promised Land. They acted, and that's how their trust showed. Later, the examples of Abraham. Right? Abraham trusted God's word and left his home, his family, his land, his animals, to a place he didn't know, because God told him to. Later, he trusted God, in spite of his old age, that he would conceive and bear a son. And he trusted not just in word and desire, but in action. He acted out what God asked of him. That was the trust. That was the proof. Maybe when you remember years ago, people would do these trust falls, right? Close your eyes, cross your arms over chest, fall backwards. Do you trust I'm going to catch you? Are you going to smash your head open on the concrete behind you? Let's see. And we would do these things, these trust falls. Oftentimes we'll say we trust God, but our actions speak something very differently. Yet time and again throughout the scriptures, God proves that in spite of very negative circumstances, the slavery in Egypt, the age of Abraham and his wife Sarah, unable to conceive, they acted on God's request. And God set them free, God fed them, God provided them descendants, as many as the stars in heaven. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Abraham put the wood on his son's back, led him up a mountain, had the knife in his sheath, and was ready to sacrifice him. He was ready to act on it, and he was going to when the angel stopped him. Abraham, the good father, trusted that somehow God wanted me to sacrifice my only son, who's the only means for me to have an heir, and he promised that I would have descendants as many as the stars. How does that happen if he's dead? But Abraham trusted. Trust doesn't mean I understand, and trust doesn't mean it makes sense. Trust simply means God is infinite, all good, all powerful. If he can bring the Israelites out of slavery, if he can raise the dead, then he will be faithful to his promise. I only have to trust, even if I don't understand. Abraham's hand was held from sacrificing his son Isaac. It was a prefigurement of Christ carrying the wood on his back, the cross, and offering himself in sacrifice in the will of the Father for our salvation, foreshadowed in Abraham and his son Isaac, fulfilled in Jesus Christ through his Father, God the Father. We see time and again that when we act because we trust, God proves his promise and is always faithful to giving us what we need to be saved. And again, we hear that promise in the gospel today. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So sell your belongings and give alms." How do we trust today? What does that look like? It's not just the prayer, "Jesus, I trust in you." It's not just simply saying, "I believe in Jesus." Faith and trust is evident in our actions, because we act on things unseen. We act on things unyet known. We act on things that we have not yet received. And that's the sign that we believe. And so, why would I give money away that I worked hard to earn to support the poor or my parish? I'll have less of it. Unless I trust that God is going to provide, sell your belongings and give alms, that he will provide for every one of my needs, that the more generous I am, the more generous he is, and the more blessed I will be. Do I really trust that? Well, look at how much you give every week. Look at how much you donate to the poor, the needy, the homeless, the hungry. That there is your proof of how much or how little you really trust. God tells us to not commit these sins because we will be enslaved by them. Our passions, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. Our passions can conquer us. If I trust God, then I keep his commandments. Even though everything in my body says, "I want to do this," I choose not to, because I believe God's promise and his will and his commandments over even my most basic human desires. That's an act of trust. I cannot break the commandments and then say I trust God if I will not do what he asks. Think of the child who trusts their parents. "Do this, don't do that. If you do that, you'll get hurt." "Well, I've never experienced that, but I'm going to believe you, mom and dad, and not do that, right? Or I'm going to believe you and do what you say I need to do. Brush my teeth. I trust that if I don't, I'll have rotten teeth and all kinds of pain and dentist appointments and the rest. I've never experienced that as a young child, but I trust you, and so I'm going to do it. I go to bed early because I trust you. I need the rest to wake up refreshed and ready for school the next day." There's things that we do constantly where we don't know the experience or the consequences of that action, but we don't do it because we trust the goodwill of our parents. Do we trust the goodwill of God? If I trust him, I keep his commandments, not because I have to, but because I love him and I want to, and I know he loves me and has promised me the kingdom. If only I can trust him. And so how do we prepare? Are we trusting him by keeping the first and third commandment, coming to Mass every Sunday and holy day of obligation? "This is for my good, Lord, not for yours, and I trust your goodwill toward me, and so I will do what you ask because you know better, even when I don't understand." That's what trust is all about. It's not simply saying I believe, it's acting in a way that proves I believe. And that's what God is inviting us once again to commit ourselves to. "Lord, I believe that you are good. I believe that you are true. I believe that you are neither deceived nor do you deceive. And therefore, I will do your will because you have promised me the kingdom. So help me to let go of my will, of my money, of my time, of my belongings, and to trust your will and to do that first. Otherwise, we live half in and half out of God's will. Like most Catholics today, we trust to the extent that it's convenient, or that it works with my work schedule or my vacation schedule or my friends or my school or the things around me. But I'm never going to ultimately, radically, wholeheartedly choose God's will over everything else. Imagine if Catholics started telling their employers, "I don't work on Sundays, I'm going to rest. If God's command, It's my religion, and I need you to respect that. Let me work every other day of the week, but give me Sunday to rest. Imagine if Catholics started putting their foot down. What the world would look like. How much more restful we would be in keeping this command for our sake and benefit and not for anyone else's. That's what God desires for us. Imagine if we trusted him and we lived in such a way that he calls us to, whether it's generosity with the poor or time in prayer or keeping his commands or generous to your parish, as so many are doing today in preparation for and with the donations made possible for our Mexican food sale. Trust is shown through action. Don't tell me you believe. Show me. And God calls us to this, or rather he invites us, ultimately for our benefit, not his. The more we know, the more will be expected of us. Ultimately, if we trust him, we're not going to be deterred by his delay in coming, but rather we're going to persevere as we wait on him, persevering by keeping his commands, and where we fail, to go to confession and to go frequently, because I cannot believe in God and not keep his commands. I cannot believe in God and remain in a life of sin that he clearly says is contrary to my dignity and his will. Otherwise, I'm just fooling myself, no one else. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Do you believe him? And are you willing to trust him?